Week 5, Day 3. Today's scripture reading is Hosea 7 through 9. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is revealed, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely, the thief breaks in, and the bandits raid outside. But they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them, they are before my face. By their evil they make the king glad, and the princes by their treachery. They are adulterers, they are like a heated oven whose baker ceases to stir the fire, from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes became sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with mockers. For with hearts like an oven, they approach their intrigue. All night their anger smolders. In the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. All of them are hot as an oven, and they devour their rulers. All their kings have fallen, and none of them calls upon me. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is like a dove, silly and without sense, calling to Egypt, going to Assyria. As they go, I will spread over them my net. I will bring them down like birds of the heavens. I will discipline them according to the report made to their congregation. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from the heart, but they wail upon their beds. For grain and wine they gash themselves, they rebel against me. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not upward. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. To me they cry, "My God, we, Israel, know you." Israel has spurned the good, the enemy shall pursue him. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold they made idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel, a craftsman made it, it is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Israel is swallowed up, already they are among the nations, as a useless vessel. For they have gone up to Assyria, a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired lovers. Though they hire allies among the nations, I will soon gather them up, and the king and princes shall soon writhe because of the tribute. Because Ephraim has multiplied altars for sinning, they have become to him altars for sinning. Were I to write for him my laws by the 10,000s, they would be regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. And Judah has multiplied fortified cities, so I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour her strongholds. Rejoice not, O Israel, exult not like the peoples, for you have played the whore, forsaking your God. You have loved the prostitute's wages on all threshing floors. Threshing floor and wine vat shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not remain in the land of the Lord, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria. They shall not pour drink offerings of wine to the Lord, and their sacrifices shall not please him. It shall be like mourner's bread to them, all who eat of it shall be defiled. For their bread shall be for their hunger only, it shall not come to the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they are going away from destruction, but Egypt shall gather them, Memphis shall bury them, nettles shall possess their precious things of silver, thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come, the days of recompense have come, Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the man of the spirit is mad, because of your great iniquity and great hatred. The prophet is the watchman of Ephraim with my God, yet a fowler's snare is on all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity, he will punish their sins. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like in the first fruit of the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the things of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory shall fly away like a bird, no birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up children, I will bereave them till none is left. Woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, was like a young palm planted in a meadow, but Ephraim must lead his children out to slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Every evil of theirs is in Gilgal, and there I began to hate them. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Even though they gave birth, I will put their beloved children to death. My God will reject them because they have not listened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. Sin Hurts by Zach Plum. On its surface, sin often looks enticing, exciting, and justifiable. When making a wrong decision, very few actually consider the consequences and they willingly embrace the outcome. How many affairs start with a goal of ruining a marriage or family? Most often, they begin with something innocent, a desire for a listening ear, a shoulder to lean on, or just to be seen. Ultimately, we know where these small compromises lead. Broken marriages, broken homes, and deep heartache. That's how sin works. It starts with small, seemingly harmless compromises and leaves pain in its wake. Today's reading paints a vivid picture of how our unrepentant hearts grieve God. It's easy to read passages like this with a sense of detachment or even judgment. But if we're honest, we've all felt the pull of sin, been ensnared by it, and have failed to recognize the damage it causes. Over the years, I've sat with, prayed for, and discipled enough men to know one of the most common struggles among Christian men is pornography. It is not a sin exclusive to young men, but pervasive in every demographic. It's a secret sin, easy to hide, and seemingly harmless to others. I fell into that same trap early in my marriage. I was a newlywed, going to church, and yet secretly battling a sin I had carried since my teenage years. As a result, my marriage paid the price. I was uninterested in intimacy with my wife, and we argued more than we connected. We would go days without talking to one another, and it was often easier to escape life's pressures with pornography than to show up and be the husband God called me to be. I battled resentment, anger, and shame, and I took it out on Carissa. It reached a point where I thought our marriage was a mistake and we would just be another divorce statistic. Throughout these first couple years of marriage, Carissa always sensed something was wrong. I'll never forget one night as she sat on our bed crying, asking if something was wrong with her because she knew I was holding something back. I didn't have the courage to tell her then, but I knew exactly what it was. That was the moment that I recognized the outcome of sin firsthand. My quote-unquote secret sin had an impact far greater than I could have ever imagined, and probably more so than I ever understand to this day. If you find yourself ensnared in sin, thinking it will just take care of itself over time, it won't. Thankfully, you can be done with your sin today and never turn back. I walked away from pornography and have never looked back. It isn't something that you have to live with. You can be and should be done with it today. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Question 1. Today's devotion addressed pornography, but other secret sins linger too. As you pray, what hidden sin might the Holy Spirit be bringing to mind in your life? Question 2. What specific sin in your life have you convinced yourself is harmless or too small to matter, and what lie have you believed to justify keeping it hidden? Is there something that you need to confess to a spouse, a loved one, or an accountability partner? Question 3. Why do you think secret sins like the one described in this devotional often go unaddressed for so long within the Christian community, and what would it take to create a culture where confession and accountability feel safe and restorative? Daily Prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would understand the gravity of sin and the separation from you that it causes. I want to be close to you, to know you, and to be in your presence. Help me to see sin in the way that you do, and to recognize my need for your Son Jesus as my Savior.